Sound Words Tape Ministry Queensland. We are now at the final address, the final chapter in the studies of the Book of Daniel, with Pastor Willie Mullen as the Bible study leader. It's chapter 12, and the title of the subject under consideration is The Time of the End. Pastor Willie Mullen.
Turning to the Book of Daniel this evening, and we're at this last chapter. It's almost with a note of sadness that we come to the last chapter of Daniel, because we have enjoyed this book as we've gone through it phrase by phrase. But we've come to this 12th chapter this evening. You'll always remember that there are 12 chapters in Daniel. You'll remember that. Do you remember me telling you that I was feasting at a great mansion one evening, and a lady started to argue with me about prophetic things? And she looked over the table. She was getting heated up. She said, "Indeed, you are wrong. For I was reading in the 16th chapter of Daniel this morning." And I just clamped up like a whatever clamps up. And I didn't say any more. And the gentleman of the house said, "Well, you didn't go on arguing with her." I said, "My dear sir, if she's got four more chapters than I have, I've no chance at all." So always remember, just 12 in Daniel. Great to get the books of the Bible in your mind, and then the number of chapters, and then try to picture the things in the chapters. I've got almost the whole New Testament like that. And close my eyes, and I remember Ephesians and its chapters, and what's in the first one, and the second one, and the third, and the fourth, and the fifth, and the sixth, and there are no more. And if you can get the chapters, and then break the chapters into their divisions and have them, well, if they ever come and take the Bible off you, they can't take it out of your heart, can they? It'll be there. So we're at the last chapter this evening, chapter 12. There are 13 verses in the chapter. And the chapter divides into three parts. The first four verses bring us the last vision Daniel received. You can see when the chapter begins with the word "and" that it's actually a continuation of the last vision. You see, the angel came in chapter 10, you remember that, and then began to give Daniel this detailed prophecy right through chapter 11, and the last part of the vision is coming to him in these four verses of chapter 12. Daniel's last vision, or the last vision Daniel received. And after that was over, Daniel was looking at the angels, and they were talking to one another. And Daniel heard something. Verse 8 says, "And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things?" And these four verses are bringing us the last question Daniel asked. You know, when you listen to God's word, and you hear, and you don't understand, then go and ask God again. You know, Daniel, he's always before God through the book, supplicating, and interceding, and seeking, and asking. My, we have found him there so often. He's asking all the time, "What shall be the end of these things for Israel?" He was just anxious about his own people, that's all. And so the first four brings us Daniel's last vision, or the last vision Daniel received. And then the next four verses bring us the last question Daniel asked. And the last five bring us the last exhortation Daniel heard. You see, verse 9 begins with the angel saying, "Go thy way, Daniel." And verse 13, the last verse, goes like this: "But go thou thy way." This is the exhortation. This is the last exhortation Daniel had. So that if you know that the 12th chapter is the last one, then you can easily remember it like this. In the first four verses, the last vision Daniel received is there. In the next four, the last question Daniel asked is there. And the last five, the last exhortation Daniel heard is there, so that you have the chapter at your fingertips. Now, let's really begin at the beginning. The very fact that the word "and" is here shows us that it's connected with the great detailed prophecy that was given to Daniel by the angel right down through this very wonderful chapter 11. You remember how we broke chapter 11 into two, the historical part, because while it was prophecy given to Daniel, a great part of it is history tonight. And we had the historical part, and then we went on to see the still prophetical part. And here is the continuation of that detailed prophecy given to Daniel in the latter part of chapter 11. And you'll notice that at the beginning of this chapter this evening, there is the mention of time. Now, we must settle this very definitely tonight. "And at that time." That's a special period, isn't it? "At that time." Certain things are going to happen. "At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble," a time of trouble at that time, "such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book." So it's a very wonderful period, this. Need to get it marked out carefully. You remember when the angel came to Daniel in chapter 10? You remember what he said when he came in verse 14? He said this: "Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days." So that the angel came expressly to make Daniel understand what should befall his people. The terrible things, and then the wonderful things that would befall the people of Israel in the latter days. And you remember, as he detailed the prophecies, you remember it said this about Daniel's people, verse 33 of chapter 11: "And they that understand among the people," that is, the people that understood the truth of God, "shall instruct many, yet they shall fall by the sword, and by flame, by captivity, and by spoil many days." You know, there was coming a time of trouble and tribulation and slaughter for even the godly in Israel in the latter days. that we're going to go through times of tribulation and trouble. Verse 35 of chapter 11 said, some of them of understanding shall fall to try them and to purge and to make them white, even to the time of the end. And that's it. At that time, that's the time we're thinking about. The time when these godly Jews are going through the tribulation, the time of the end. You remember down the chapter last week, chapter 11, verse 40, we read, and at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind. And you remember we got the setting of Armageddon right at the end of the chapter. We're thinking about the latter days of Daniel's people, the days of trouble and tribulation, when Armageddon will really beset. And at that time is what the angel is saying. So we're dead on the period, on the bullseye. You can't miss it. That's the time we're thinking about tonight. It's mentioned here. And at that time, this is very wonderful, shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. You see, at that time, at the time of trouble, well, there's going to be an intervention of heaven. Heaven is going to intervene here. We all know that Michael, mentioned here, the chief prince, is Michael the archangel. You know, one of the great studies of this old book, both Old and New Testaments, is the study of the activity of angels. You know, that's a great study. It's worth doing. It's a fascinating one. You see, some of us seem to think that the angels just fly about God's heaven, and sometimes they take trips to earth. You would think they were on an eternal holiday in paradise, but it's not so. You know, the angels are a multitude of ordered servants of God. We must not forget that they're messengers of God. You know, if you go through the scriptures, I wonder, do you remember this? Let's have a look at this. It's Revelation 16, isn't it? Revelation 16. I'm just wondering if you have forgotten this. And here we have some of the angels specially mentioned. Verse 4 says, chapter 16, verse 4, we mustn't wait here too long. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say. You know, that's a tremendous phrase, isn't it? The angel of the waters. You know, the angels are detailed for certain jobs, and it seems that this one, he was detailed to look after all the waters of earth. And mind you, I believe this. If there were not angels looking after all the waters of earth, the old devil would come in and flood us out. And you know, there are times, just like God made a gap in the hedge that was around Daniel to let the devil in. He couldn't get in till the Lord let him in. There are times that God may allow the devil to have his way with the water. Must have been the devil that had something to do with the storm that was on the Sea of Galilee when Christ was in the boat. Somebody asked me once, how do you know it was the devil? Maybe it was God. Well, the Lord Jesus never made anything lie down that God made stand up. And the Lord Jesus stood up in the boat and said, lie down! and the winds and the waves obeyed him. And you know there is an angel over the waters tonight. And angels detailed over the fire. Are you still at Revelation 16? Have a look at the fourth verse there. And the angel poured out his vial, the eighth verse. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun. And power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. Oh, he had power. And you know, the angels are busy writing tonight. Might have got a host of them in heaven. Yea, the clerks of heaven. And they're writing the names in. Every new name that comes into this world, everyone who has a connection with life, the name is written in the book of life. And then everyone who gets a second birth, and who has a connection now with the Lamb, the name is in the Lamb's book of life. Oh, that's different. And you know, if God brings the Lamb before you for the very last time, and you turn your back, and you're going down the edges to a lost eternity, God's finished with you. They'll blot your name out of the book of life. And your name will neither be found in the book of life nor the Lamb's book of life when the audit is opened. And whosoever's name is not found written will be cast into the lake of fire. You know what a job the angels have. They're recording all the time, writing in and blotting out, and keeping the books right for eternity. And then, of course, they're writing in the books all the deeds and all the words. By your words, you know, you'll be judged. My dear friend, the angels, the activity of angels is a tremendous subject. And then you see, Michael is the archangel. Remember, there are no archangels. The very word archangel means that he's the ruler of the angels. He's the chief of the angels. And you know, this Michael, the archangel, he seems to be detailed off to have a special job in connection with Israel. Yes, he's the great prince of thy people. That's what the angel's saying. At that time, shall Michael, the great prince of thy people, shall he stand up to defend them? You know, that brings us away back to Revelation 12. You remember that. Let's go over to Revelation 12 for a moment. Have a look at it and make sure of it. You see, Revelation 12 is all about Israel, isn't it? You remember us going through this. This woman that brought forth the man-child is Israel. Verse 6, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days, or 3.5 years, if you like. Or a time and times and half a time, if you want it the other way. And there was war in heaven, or in the heavens. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. It's a lovely wee bit, isn't it? Somebody asked me once, should a believer go to war? And Michael's setting you a pretty good example, isn't he? Yes, they went fighting. The archangel fought. Yes. Mind you, very often the devil's at the back of the warfare. And if we can see the righteousness that needs to be maintained, surely we should maintain it. And the great dragon was cast out here, it says. That old serpent called the devil, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. I believe we are back to the very time that's spoken of here, where Michael is standing up for God's people. You know this Michael, the archangel, whenever you see Israel, you'll find that Michael comes terribly close. You remember that Moses went up into Mount Nebo and died, and God buried him. And then there came a day, you know, when God was going to take the body of Moses out of the grave. I believe it was the time when he was going to let him stand on the Mount of Transfiguration. But that was a very wonderful moment, wasn't it? Elijah was there, one who had never died. And then God was going to get another Old Testament character, one who had died and was buried, and God was going to bring his body out of the grave. And it says in Jude that Michael, the archangel, disputed with the devil over the body of Moses. I think the devil had a bit of an argument here. Said, you can't take this body out. You know, the redemption price is not paid yet. And you know, Michael the archangel durst not bring a railing accusation against him. He just looked at him and said, the Lord rebuke you. But you know, God had counted those things that are not as though they were. He brought the body of Moses out. Yes, but you see that Michael is connected with Israel, whether dead or alive. And you know, here's something. When the Lord Jesus comes to the air, and come he will, the old book says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. You know, that'll be his voice. And every sheep of his pasture in this dispensation will hear his voice. My sheep hear my voice. And out of the graves they'll come. But that passage says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel. What's he shouting about? Yes, because I believe at the same time the Old Testament saints will rise too. And he's always connected with Israel, wherever we find him. Oh, this is a tremendous subject. It's a fascinating one. The activity of angels. Might as he Gabriel detailed to come to speak to men on earth. He came to Daniel. He came to the Virgin Mary. Oh, we can go on. But we just want to go back to Daniel 12. And notice at that time, at the time of tribulation, at the time when Armageddon will be fulfilled, at that time Michael shall stand up, the great prince that standeth for the children of thy people. And then it says this, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was, since there was a nation, even to that same time. This is going to be the most horrible time that ever came upon the nation of Israel. You see, the angel's telling Daniel what shall befall his people in the last days. And he says, at that time, although Michael shall stand up, there'll be a time of trouble. It's called in Jeremiah, the time of Jacob's trouble. You remember how the Lord Jesus put it. Have a look at Matthew 24. There's a wonderful saying here that you should never forget. It's Matthew 24, and the Lord Jesus is speaking here. And in verse 21, he said this, for then shall be great tribulation, or as some of the scholars would have it, for then shall be the great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be. You know, that's the same period, isn't it? You can't have two periods in the world's history with almost the same phrasing. You can't have them different, can you? If there's going to be a time of trouble for the Jewish nation, such as never was, and then the Lord adds, nor ever shall be, then the Lord's talking about the same time as the angel is revealing to Daniel, just exactly the same time. In fact, when Joel comes in as the prophet, Joel takes us to this very day. Let's have a look at Joel. Hosea, and then comes Joel. If you're at Daniel, Hosea, then you're not far from Joel. And we're at the second chapter here. And Joel is describing this day of trouble. And in verse 2 he calls it a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. So that you get the angel speaking to Daniel, you get the Lord Jesus speaking to the Jewish disciples, and you get Joel the prophet, all talking about a time of trouble for Jacob's people, Israel. And there never was anything before like it, and there'll never be anything again. Do you think it's past, or do you think it's in the future? Well, I would think that your logic was very narrow and small and miserable if you thought it was past. Because the nations have invented things now for warfare that we've never dreamed about. And in the not too far distant future, they'll be let loose. And while the poor Jew went through a horrible time in the Maccabean period, under that tyrant from the north, and while the poor Jew went through a horrible time under Hitler, and 6 million of them were burnt, maybe far more, I believe the worst is yet to come. I'm sure of that, because of the period that we're thinking about. We haven't seen Armageddon yet. But there's a period coming for the Jewish nation, and it will be more horrible than anything that the Jewish nation has ever passed through. Indeed, Jesus added, except those days be shortened, no flesh would be saved. We've never passed through anything like that. We had a night or two of bombing from Hitler. But you know, we were never in any fears of being completely blotted out. Not a bit of us. But there's a day coming for this poor old world of ours. The day when God will put the Jew into the melting pot. And unless those days would be shortened, there would be no flesh saved. So that the angel is showing Daniel that at the latter day, at that time, even though Michael shall stand up, there'll be a time of trouble for the Jew, like they've never had before, and they'll never have again after it's over. Now let's read it all together now. The angel is speaking to Daniel and saying, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. You see, while it says, thy people shall be delivered, it's actually talking about a remnant of the people of Daniel. Just the crowd that's found written in the book. You see, when the great tribulation period comes for the Jewish nation, you know, God is going to take 12,000 out of each tribe. 12,000 out of 12 tribes. 144,000. And God is going to seal them off. And that cloud written in the book. This is the book of the tribulation, saints. This is not the book of life. This is not the Lamb's book of life. My, there are angels writing down the names of all who will be sealed off in the tribulation period. They've got a great job, haven't they? 12,000 out of each tribe. And God says, everything that can be thrown upon them, I'll keep them. And God will keep them. God will bring 144,000 of them through the worst time that ever fell on the face of God's earth as far as the Jew is concerned. And he'll bring them through without a scratch. What a God. For 3.5 years, there'll be witnesses. And the tribulation will be raging. But God will keep them. Well, if God can keep 144,000 of them for 3.5 years in the tribulation, he ought to be able to keep you and I today. Can you now? Yes, he's able to keep you. And so this cloud, this particular cloud, will be delivered. You're getting this all right, aren't you? You see the mention of time and the intervention of heaven and the tribulation of Israel. And now the preservation of these tribulation saints. And then we come to verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Some people say that the Old Testament doesn't talk about resurrection. I don't know why they read it or how they read it. Some to everlasting life. And some to shame and everlasting contempt. Because this is just the resurrection of Jews that we're thinking about just now. I want you to get that. You see, the angel's not bothering about anybody else. He's just telling Daniel, what shall befall thy people in the last days? And it's the Jews in the tribulation period. I want you to get that. Because that's very important. That's why I took my time to underline at that time. That time. You see, when we come to think about resurrections, you remember when the Lord Jesus died, and the veil was rent in twain, and then he arose again on the third day. When he arose, Matthew 27 says, and the bodies of some of the saints that slept awoke, got out of the graves with them. Now, that was a resurrection, and I want you to grasp that. And I want you to grasp it was a resurrection of saints. It just says the bodies of some of the saints. Just saints. No, nobody else at that time. And then one of these days, I believe the Lord Jesus will come. I believe he could come now. And mind you, dear unsaved friend, I'm saying, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Oh, you've had your chance. You've despised my law. You've set him at naught. You've rejected him. If he leaves you behind, it's your fault. And he's pleaded with you a long time. So we're wanting to see him. You know, this old body, it'll have pains and aches no more. Sometimes I come to preach before you and you don't know how near done I am. But my, when I see him, it'll be changed. To be like his glorious body without a blemish forever. No wonder we say, even so come. I believe he could come now. And if Jesus stepped out of the sky and came to the air now, then the dead in Christ. Oh, get the wee word in. The dead in Christ. The old saints that have died in Christ. They'll rise first. Yes, and the Jewish saints that had their trust in the Lamb of God, they'll come out at the voice of the archangel. And it'll just be saints that will rise to meet him. Just saints, remember, just saints. Nobody else mentioned. It was just saints in Matthew 27, and it's only saints in 1 Thessalonians 4. And you know, if the Lord took us away tonight to be with him and like him forever, there'd be quite a number left behind. But you would be left behind for judgment, remember. And you know, this Antichrist that we've been reading about these nights, this beast, this man of sin, my, he would come in with his flatteries. And some of you have got the idea that you would never bow. But God will send you strong delusion. Well, that's what the Bible says. I remember quoting that to an old fellow one day. He said, it's not in God's word. And I just kindly got it for him and made him put his glasses on and read it. And when he read, God shall send them strong delusion, that they all should believe the lie, that they might be damned. He says, my God, I didn't think it was there. It's there. And God will send you strong delusion. And you'll be bluffed. And you'll be in the army of the devil before you know where you are. And there'll come that time of tribulation. God will preserve the 144,000, I know. But there'll be many more Jews in the tribulation who will stand on the Messiah's side, and they'll be blotted out. The Antichrist will slay them. Didn't we read about them in chapter 11? They shall be slain, they shall be burned with a flame. Yes. And when the tribulation has rolled its course, then those saints, the tribulation saints that died in the tribulation under the beast, they'll be brought forth to everlasting life. And then Revelation 20 comes in and says, this is the first resurrection. You see, the first resurrection has taken all the saints out of the grave. Whether you take some in Matthew 27 and 1 Thessalonians 4 and Revelation 20, it matters not. We're gathering out all the saints, and when that moment comes, there'll not be another body of a saint left in the grave. And then it says, the rest of the dead live not again till the 1,000 years were finished. Oh, there's a millennial reign between these two crowds. You see, looking at it here, you would almost think it was a general resurrection, wouldn't you? Let's have a look at it again now. It says in verse 2, and many of them that sleep, that is Jews, of course, in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Now, tragedy is reckoned by all and sundry to be one of the great Hebrew scholars of all time. And I just read today what Tregele said in this verse. And he said it should read like this. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, these to everlasting life, and those to shame and everlasting contempt. And he said the Hebrew is really bringing these into the near place and makes a long division pointing at those. and I see the 1,000 years millennial between. Oh, there's nothing wrong with it. And so we're seeing the resurrection of the tribulation saints at the end of the tribulation into eternal life with the Lord of life. And we're seeing those who denied and rejected at the end of the tribulation raised again to shame and everlasting contempt. And then he goes on to reveal a little bit more. He says, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. They shall be as the sun, as it were. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars. I think there are two classes here of servants. They that be wise, surely these are the teachers. My, they shall shine as the brightness of the sun. And they that turn many to righteousness, surely these are the evangelists. Do you know, I believe the greatest work on God's earth tonight is this. If you can teach God's word to the saints, and then preach God's gospel to the sinners, you've got the greatest job on God's earth. And it's mine. It's a great privilege. I don't mind working day and night at it. You see, as a teacher, I've got to get alone with God that the Holy Ghost might saturate me with the light and truth. And it's a lonely life. As a preacher of the gospel, I must be prepared to go anywhere. And I mean anywhere. I can't be tied in, brother. I won't be tied in. I've got a gift to preach the glorious gospel of Christ. And I must be at liberty to go where the doors are open. If the Roman Catholic priest invites me down for a month to North Street in my holidays, I'll go gladly. I won't charge him a penny. I'll do it free. I'll even give him a pound or two into the bargain. Oh, what a privilege it would be to preach the gospel. This is the job. And you know, there's going to be a coronation one day. There's going to be a reward for those who have faithfully taught the saints the truth of God. And for those who have faithfully preached the gospel of our Lord Jesus. And so, friends, here are the servants being crowned at the end of the day. Isn't this a wonderful vision he's given Daniel? He mentions the time. Then it was the intervention of heaven. Then the tribulation of Israel. Then the preservation of those saints of the tribulation period. Then the resurrection of Israel, both there at the end of the tribulation and at the end of the millennial. Then comes the coronation of the servants. Then this last wee bit is just the revelation of the end. He says in verse 4, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. It was wonderful that when God gave John the word in the book of the Revelation, he said, don't seal it, for the time is at hand. It's wonderful to notice the difference between the two. Then he says, seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. This seems to be a mark that will be at the end of the age. Some of the scholars think that, this tremendous hurry and bustle in travel is mentioned here. And some think that all the books that we have now in the libraries, are people rushing to and fro? Hath knowledge been increased? And yet Dr. Newell, he believes that the true sense of this is this. At the end of time, or the time of the end, Many shall search thy book through and through, and the knowledge of what is about to take place will be increased. And Dr. Newell might be on the target. Because as we come to the end of the days, you know, prophetic truths, people are longing to hear. There is a searching of the prophetic pages. And if we honestly search the prophetic page, then indeed the knowledge of what shall take place at the end, our knowledge will be increased. And so there's the last vision that Daniel got. And then we look at this last question. Verse 5, then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, that is, other two angels, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, we found out he was an angel when we were at chapter 10, which was upon the waters of the river. This is the river Hezekiel. And one seemed to say to the other, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half. Because we've been following this right through, and I don't need to take you through it again. My, this is the period, 1,260 days, 3 years and a half. It's the middle of the last. And if we honestly search the prophetic page, then indeed the knowledge of what shall take place at the end, our knowledge will be increased. And so there's the last vision that Daniel got. And then we look at this last question. Verse 5, then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, that is, other two angels, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, we found out he was an angel when we were at chapter 10, which was upon the waters of the river. This is the river Hezekiel. And one seemed to say to the other, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and a half. Because we've been following this right through, and I don't need to take you through it again. My, this is the period, 1,260 days, 3 years and a half. It's the middle of the last week of the covenant. Oh, it's the time of tribulation. Just think of this horrible time of tribulation. Such as never was before and will never be again. Think of it lasting for 3.5 years. My, this poor old world will shake. No wonder that the kings of the earth and the great men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man will call on the rocks and the mountains to fall upon them. No wonder. Be a horrible time. 3.5 years. And then it goes on, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And Daniel says, and I heard, but I understood not. He couldn't grasp it. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? You know, this really touched me today. See the great prophet the man who had been given more revelations than any of the other prophets of the Old Testament. And here he is, away at the end of his days. He must be over the 90 mark, a long way, maybe near 100 years old. He hears. He cannot grasp this 3.5. He doesn't understand, and yet he steps in before the throne and cries again. He's interceding that he might get light about his people. Oh, friends, I feel this is where we fall down. Man, we don't go back to the throne again. So many of us, we come and we call, and then we faint. And you know, men ought to keep on praying and not faint. Daniel never fainted. Daniel got in the praying business all the time. And you know, his last question is an intercessory cry to heaven. How long shall these be? And now we're moving on to the last few phrases. And this is the last exhortation. I think it's a tremendous one. The angel's answering Daniel, verse 9. And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. God was telling him no more. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Wonder was he thinking about some of us there, that maybe in this day we would be taught the truth of God's word, and we would get to understand what even the old prophet didn't. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Well, you know that 3.5 years is 1,260. Why the extra 30 days? All one could break out in conjecture, but why should we? We don't know. But there's an extra 30 days here for something. Maybe they who will be there will know all about it. And then when he comes to verse 12, blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. And there's an extra 75 days there. My, here we are. And here we stand tonight. We know that 3.5 years the tribulation will sweep the broad acres. Ah, but there are 30 days and then 75 beyond that. And blessed is he that gets right through. You know, it may take all this time to clear up the terrible carnage, set up the millennial kingdom, but who knows? But here was the exhortation to Daniel. But go thou thy way. I think that's lovely. I wouldn't like the book of Daniel to end with anything else. Go thou thy way. Let's recapture quickly. What was Daniel's way? You remember the first chapter? My, it was the way of dedication. You remember that he purposed in his heart, even as a boy. Remember the day the wee fellow stood in Babylon? He was only 14 years of age. He was a captive in a strange land, in the land of idols. But the wee soul, he seemed to put his shoulders back. And he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with anything that belonged to Babylon. Ah, that was the way of dedication. Just go your way. And that you who have come through the book with me, you know that Daniel's way was the way of supplication. My, we have seen him going to God about everything. Every time there's a problem, every time there's a question, every time there's a secret to be answered or revealed, you'll find Daniel on his face before God. It was a time of supplication for Daniel. Daniel's way was the way of dedication. Daniel's way was the way of supplication. And you know that Daniel's way was the way of purification. You know, when the presidents begin to search into his life, you remember that they searched his public life and they could find no fault. Chapter 6 it is. You remember they searched his private life and he was spotless. My, I tell you, this is the way of Daniel. It's the way of dedication. It's the way of supplication. It's the way of purification. And don't forget this, it was the way of proclamation. You know, he was not afraid to stand alone and preach God's truth. And Daniel's way was the way that glorified God. It was the way of glorification. Ah, he says, Daniel, just go on your way, man. Would to God that we in this class could hear a voice behind us saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. You younger ones, with your shoulders back, lift your faces to him who died for you and purpose in your heart that you'll follow him no matter what the cost. Let all the saints of God here purpose in their souls tonight that we'll get before God in prayer for real blessing. My, if we bow our knees, heaven's doors will open. That's the only secret there is. Let's have that holy life. Yea, don't be afraid of the word sanctification. Be set apart for God. And you'll glorify him. You know, this is a lovely word to Daniel, isn't it? Go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest. You know what God's telling you? You're going to die. God wasn't afraid to tell people that we're going to die, you know. Remember what he did with Moses. Says, Moses, look, get you up into Mount Nebo and die there. God knew when he was going to die. And God knew where he was going to die. You remember what the Lord Jesus said to Peter? He said, when thou wast young, you just went where you liked. Ah, but when you get old, men will come and take you and they'll spread your arms out. You're going to die on a cross. This said he, signifying by what death Peter should die and glorify God. You know, this thrills me tonight. God knows when I'll die. God knows where I'll die. God knows how I'll die. But the bit that I need to get the hold of is if I must die, I must die glorifying God. Do you ever think about it? You know, it's really amazing, isn't it? That you can glorify God in your death. You know, this is what he's just saying to Daniel. He's just saying, go your way. Glorify me in life. And then glorify me in death. You know, that's what Paul said, isn't it? His ambition was that I might magnify him either by life or by death. You know, I went to see a wee lass once. She was dying with cancer. She was a sister in Purdiesburn, and she knew all about the complaint she had, knew more about it than most people. She was in a little cubicle by herself, and she sent for me, and when I went in, she said, Mr. Mullen, you know what's wrong with me. I said, yes, dear, I do. She said, I'm going to die. She said, I just want you to tell me something about this valley of the shadow. I said, dear, you know, that's difficult. The way I've always looked at it is like this. That if I were on that bed where you are and I knew all that you know, I would feel I was going to die, and I would feel that death would be my last act of faith. And I would make it as big a one as ever I could. Death will be your last act of faith. Make it as big as you can. Glorify him. God may test me out in that, you know. May. I feel that the keys of death are at his girdle. He won them at Calvary. He stepped on the serpent's head. He screwed it. By death he defeated him that had the power of death. And he took the keys off him. And the keys of death hang at the girdle of Christ. And when the hand that was nailed to the cross for me lifts the key and puts it into the door of death for me, then, please God, it will suit me. Suit me. I never worry. I can say this before God tonight. I don't worry about it. If he turns the key in the door tonight, it will suit me. Friend, go your way. Just dedicate your life. Pray your soul out. Live for God. Shout for his glory. Magnify his name. And then as you go through the valley of the shadow, glorify him in death. And he said this to Daniel, go thy way, thou shalt rest. And then he said, thou shalt stand in thy lot. Oh, what a day it will be. You know, God's going to reward old Daniel. Yes, he lived for God down here. And I believe he died to the glory of his name. But he'll stand in his allotment, it should be, at that last day. And you know, God will look at him and say, well done, good, faithful servant. And he'll reward Daniel. And he'll reward you, dear. You're faithful, good. He'll not say, well done, if you haven't done well, you know. He'll not say good and faithful if you're not good and faithful. Friends, we've come to the end of a great book. I'm sure God has blessed his truth to you. Pray for the class and for me and for what the Lord will have us do in the days to come. And may his name be further glorified as we wait for his return. Let us bow together. Dear Lord, we wait in thy presence. Thank thee for these mighty phrases that thou hast given to us by the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank thee for this great chapter of truth, for the many shining things that are in it. O Lord, we feel and know that we're coming to the very last of the last days. Lord Jesus, we feel that thou wilt come soon. speak to us individually tonight and say to us, go Daniel's way. Oh God, if we've been going our own way, help us to dedicate our lives tonight. Help us to get back to the prayer meeting. Help us to begin to live righteously and soberly and godly. Help us, Lord, to proclaim fearlessly thy truth. Help us by trusting thee and obeying thee to glorify thee. And then if we must die, help us to glorify thee in death. Bless the clouds. Keep us, Lord, close beside thee. Make us go over these things again. May we chew this thing tonight. May we digest it. May it be wrought into the very texture of our lives. May we bring glory to thy name through the teaching of the book. Hear our prayers and bless us for Christ's sake. Amen.